Would your life be easier if you were more confident in social situations and in your personal relationships? Relationships are everything. Whether we're talking platonic, romantic, professional, personal, nothing affects you more than your relationships. When you're trying to change, a lot of the time, it's so you can better navigate the complex world of relationships. And that's not even mentioning the most important relationship of all, which is your relationship to yourself. A better understanding of relationship dynamics, both to yourself and to others, will take a ton of pressure off of you and allow you to more confidently move through your change journey so you can achieve success in whatever area it is you're after. Welcome to Change Made Easy. Let's face it, changing your habits, behaviors, and routines is hard. We make it easy. My name is Paul Levitin. I am a board-licensed behavior change coach, and I've been working in the field of behavior change, helping people change their behaviors, habits, and routines for over 10 years. If you've been struggling building the life of your dreams, if you've ever said to yourself, I just don't get what I'm doing wrong, then you've come to the right place. See, your life right now is a result of your actions, and your actions are a combination of your behaviors, habits, and routines. And that means to change your life, you have to change your actions. And to change your actions, you have to change your behaviors, your habits, and your routines. Change the root, change the fruit. No matter what you're looking to accomplish or what area of your life you're looking to find success in, it all starts with one word, change. And that's why I'm so excited to introduce you to today's guest, Devin Ash. Devin is the creator of Social Fluency, a brand that focuses on social skills development as well as social connections. For over 16 years, Devin has coached men, women, couples, and organizations towards better, more fruitful social interactions. On this episode, Devin and I discuss the true meaning of self-confidence and how you can start to build it inside yourself, an easy challenge you can take today to push yourself out of your comfort zone, as well as the risk of living in what Devin calls social scarcity. If you're looking to create positive life change, you're probably excited for it to happen quickly. So make sure you listen for Devin's strategy of speeding up by slowing down. And with that, please enjoy this conversation with Devin Ash. So Devin, what is social fluency?
Great question, Paul. I mean, fluency is speed, ease, and accuracy, right? By definition. And so social fluency, by definition, is speed, ease, and accuracy in your social life, in your interactions with, you know, people you're attracted to, your interactions with career opportunities, your interactions with your neighbor and the barista at the local coffee shop. Like, how you show up as you move through the world is social fluency. And social fluency is also the name of my company, where we teach body language, conversation, humor, assertiveness, dating skills, negotiation skills. Basically, anytime there's another human involved, there's some kind of social fluency element that we could kind of tap into there.
Yeah. And so I love the speed, ease, and accuracy are what creates fluency. So I'm curious how you bring each of those words into what you do in the social realm. Like, what does speed mean in a social setting?
Yeah. So speed is one of the ones that it's kind of a misnomer, maybe, because while I want you to be fast in your mind, I actually want people to move and speak really slowly. We, through mirror neurons with other people, if we're speaking really quickly and we're moving with like some kind of anxiety in our body, other people will start to feel that anxiety themselves. So our ability to think quickly on our feet and then behave slowly is the ultimate goal. So yeah, speed, ease, and accuracy is what social fluency is. And speed meaning that you can get into position to say the thing you want to say and say it with ease and relaxed kind of body language, and then accuracy so that you can consistently show up in a way that you want to show up what a lot of people do is they kind of go into autopilot, and they don't really think about what they're doing in any conscious way. They just react to the environment around them. Versus someone who's gone through my training, they're kind of counterintuitively, I'd say they're being more natural and more a normal version of themselves, because people are often wearing like kind of like a protective mechanism that they defend themselves from the world around them, unconsciously for the most part. And when you go through a training like ours, you end up taking off a lot of those protective shields, and you end up being a much more authentic version of yourself as you move through. So, yeah, I mean, the ultimate goal is to get to a point where you're being just your full spectrum authentic self, but doing it from a place of self-awareness and consciousness.
Real quick, we'll be back to the show in just a few seconds, but right now I just have to tell you about my free weekly newsletter. If you want to join the thousands of change seekers just like you who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content to help you on your quest for change, then click the link in the notes that says free newsletter right now. You'll get signed up for free tips that will make your change journey easier, sent straight to your inbox every Friday. All you have to do is click free newsletter in whatever app you're listening on. Okay, now back to the show. Yeah, a lot of good pieces there that I want to dive into. Self-awareness to me is the ultimate skill, I say all the time. It's a meta skill. You know yourself, you know where to go. I love the concept of slowing down to speed up. And you mentioned there that you kind of need to drop away these shields, these subconscious maybe armor. If you listen to Brené Brown, she talks about the armor that we all hold. You need to kind of drop all that. So what is the power that you see in letting go?
People unconsciously or consciously can pick up, for the most part, not all the time. I mean, a very charismatic person, you know, you see a lot of these super charismatic leaders, they kind of pull the wool over a lot of our eyes. But most people, especially when they're interacting with someone one-on-one, can consciously or unconsciously feel when there's an inauthenticity and there's that like guard. And so if you walk around protective, like this is protective body language, right? I'm like kind of tilting my head down. I'm like protecting my neck. I'm like kind of maybe crossing my arm across me. I think I'm making myself safer, but in actuality, I'm making other people feel like there's some kind of threat present, whether they know it or not. And so I think the biggest power that comes from letting go is when you truly are able to confidently, with true confidence, drop these guarded layers, people naturally feel more drawn to you and they feel safe around you.
What does confidence mean to you?
It's a great question. I don't think I've ever actually thought about exactly what confidence is, but to me, confidence, it's like a belief in your ability to accomplish things. So one of the things we often say is confidence through competence. So you become more confident by having experiences and having ideally positive experiences, but some negative experiences as well, as long as you take them as lessons. But confidence is this feeling of, I can handle this. And whatever comes up, I will, you know, explore it with, you know, an open mind to why this is coming into my life. I think confidence is the belief that you'll be able to navigate a situation and make the best of it.
Really love that. It's interesting that you've never thought about that before, because this is everything that I talk about and everything that I teach. I do courses on self-confidence, and the way I define it is literally word for word what you just said.
Amazing.
Do I believe in my ability to trust myself, to do my thing, to be okay in any given situation?
Yeah.
It's not about a look or a talking to a girl or talking to a guy or something like that. It's like, if shit hits the fan, do I have the capacities within me, if everything else fails, to be able to figure it out, to be able to rely on my own human intuition, my body, only the things within my skin to figure it out? And if I can do that, I can do anything, because it allows me to take risks. It allows me to put myself out there. It allows me to try, because when you don't have that, that's the opposite. It's like, well, if I talk to this girl or this guy and they reject me and then I'll be broken, it's like, well, then I don't want to talk to this girl or this guy.
Right. And then you never face it. Yeah. Exactly. You never develop that muscle. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Perfect. Perfect analogy. The muscle. And I love what you said about it. It's like confidence through competence. So how do you start people on that journey when they haven't been that person before? Once you're a confident person, it's easy to continue to be that person. But how do you start someone day one?
Yeah. That's another good question. The first step is often around beliefs and kind of like sort of cleaning up some patterns from the past. Like let's say when a person joins my training, the first kind of week of the training is strictly around beliefs and mental patterns and seeing how those mental patterns are affecting you on a day-to-day basis. And then also how, as you interact in the world, if you bring these beliefs to the world around you, and then you are getting feedback from your environment, that is going to compound those beliefs or change those beliefs, and ideally change those beliefs. That's the focus, is to change these beliefs. So first step is looking at your beliefs. And then my training is built over 5 months. So it's a slow process. When you're talking about changing something as integral as how you show up socially, which is something that, you know, we've all been doing since we were born, essentially. These are deeply ingrained beliefs that need to shift, and almost more so deeply ingrained habits, physical behavioral habits that have become like, kind of like a comfort zone for someone. So, week one is beliefs. And then we get into behavioral change, and we're obviously like constantly coming back to the beliefs and reinforming those beliefs with new interactions that people have had in the real world, but it's slow and steady. So I think in week one, we also give them the homework of like maintaining eye contact with someone as they walk around, you know, their neighborhood. And then week two is like, say good morning to the first person you see. And then week three is, give someone a compliment. And it's like slowly, slowly, slowly pushing people out of their comfort zone, really slowly. I used to do this in like a weekend format or like a 10-day format, when we just get people come work with me for 10 days straight. And I have found that while those can be transformative, from a punch in the face is transformative, or skydiving, or, you know, some kind of like ayahuasca journey, that probably could be pretty profound. So I want it to be a slow, steady process so that the outcomes lock in.
Yeah. I mean, we're speaking the same language here. I couldn't agree more. We do a lot of the same way. I teach this the exact same way. I always say, if a change is worth doing, it's worth doing forever. And if it's not worth doing forever, then it's probably not worth doing. And this is life we're talking about. When we're talking about health,
love that,
wealth, relationships, fitness, these are lifelong pursuits. I'm curious though, you mentioned that, okay, week one is beliefs. We know that we have to we start with beliefs. Everything starts within our head. In your experience, having done this for so many years with so many people, are there any beliefs that pop into your head that you see pop up all the time that you're like, I know that almost always I'm going to have to deal with this when someone gets started?
Yeah, I'd say there's a few. I'd say a feeling of not being worthy of love and respect.
So that belief of I am not worthy of love, all of our beliefs come from somewhere. Usually it's because that has been the story that has been either told to me or I've told to myself up until this point. So for someone who has that story ingrained in them, 30, 40, 50 year old guy, women as well, we all have this. It's because, well, like, I am not worthy of love because up until this point, I have not been loved. So how do we start to change that when everything in my brain is saying, well, this is just the facts. I don't have love. So how can I ever be loved?
Yeah. It takes time. It takes, essentially, you need to have new data. And so my belief is that no one's broken. There's always the possibility of working on this. There's always the possibility of redemption. There's always the possibility of, coming home. But you can't keep doing what you've been doing and expect a different result. You need to start behaving differently. You need to start showing up differently. And that means you need to develop these skills, the social fluency. And then over time, so let's say you have a kind of a cycle of beliefs. You have an experience of a belief that you have, I'm not worthy. That belief feeds into a kind of emotional state of like feeling kind of down about it. That emotional state feeds into behaviors. Your body language gets smaller. Your conversation sort of gravitationally moves into this place of like victimhood or just unattractive conversational patterns and bad use of humor and stuff like that. And then those behaviors get feedback from your environment. And that feedback from your environment feeds into those beliefs. And this is, you stay stuck forever. We can't just change those beliefs. Again, go do ayahuasca if you want to change your beliefs in a weekend, but I can work with their behaviors. And so when I work with their behaviors and I give them new patterns, new body language, new ways to show up, then they start getting new feedback. And maybe they don't get new feedback right away. But if they stay diligent with these new behaviors and these new patterns of showing up, over time, you start getting new feedback. And then that new feedback makes you think, oh, well, maybe there is the possibility of change. And then that gives you this kind of different vibe in your emotional state. And then that informs a new behavior. And then you start getting into a virtuous cycle where it sort of happens naturally, where you just start having this kind of positive interaction, which confirms the belief that you're fostering, which puts you in a positive emotional state, which makes the behavior feel totally congruent.
Beautiful. I love the concept of a virtuous circle. Everything is a flywheel. And, we go into, people talk about a downward spiral all the time, but we can also create that upward spiral. And our positive beliefs change our actions change our beliefs, and we start to lift ourselves up. And up until now, we've spoken a lot about us, me, right? How I can change my beliefs, but when we're talking about relationships, there's another person in that dance, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a business relationship, whether it's a friend relationship, whether it's just going to a cocktail party and talking to other people. So how much of this is on me, and how can I start to affect relationships when there's so many pieces that are outside of my control.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one, we just have to surrender to the fact that we don't have total control of the stuff happening around us, and we're just part of the equation. I would say, the concept of assertiveness sort of comes to mind here, which is one of the tenets of what we teach, which is I'm responsible for my own actions and my own behaviors, and other people are responsible for theirs. There's people who are passive, just kind of go with the flow. They're trying to manage everyone's experience and try to make everyone see them in a certain light. There's people who are aggressive and they're like kind of forcing their way. There's passive aggressive who are the more manipulative of the options, and they're out there, acting passively, but ultimately have an aggressive intent. But they're all trying to control other people. Whereas assertiveness is you're just like, hey, I'm going to be comfortable setting boundaries. I'm going to be comfortable being clear on my desires and my intention. And if that doesn't align with someone, then, let's talk about it and see why it doesn't align. And if there's a possibility of some adaptation from both of us. But the other thing is when you have an abundance of opportunities, you don't feel like any one situation needs to work, perfectly. I was just speaking with a student, just had him over for a coffee. And we were just talking about how nice it is when you have friends who you introduce and they become friends. And now a person who has not a lot of friends is going to feel like a scarcity in, oh, they're hanging out without me. Like, oh, I'm being, removed from this group. But if you have a lot of connections and then some of them start becoming friends outside of you, it feels like you're building this tapestry of community. So I'm very assertive. I set boundaries. I set expectations. I'm clear about what I want and what I don't want. And if it doesn't align with someone, I'm very comfortable being like, well, then this probably isn't a good fit. And then that creates a safe space for other people to ask for what they want. So clear communication and assertiveness. I think those two things are going to make all of your relationships feel a lot more spacious. And then on top of all that, to add the spice of life, humor. If you can be playful in your relationships, you're releasing chemicals in people that just make them feel so good and they just want to be around you.
So again, up until this point, we've spoken a lot about us being single, building relationships, getting into those first steps. But now to flip the script a little bit, we are all in relationships. And sometimes we can feel like what I have is a good thing, but our growth doesn't stop because we're in a relationship. So what happens if I change? Does that change the dynamic of my relationship? If I'm continuing to try to do better, be different, level up, whatever it is, what happens to the dynamic of the relationship that I worked so hard to create?
Yeah. I think this is a common thing with people in self-development, right? They'll get into a relationship. They'll start exploring different ways that they want to show up in the world. And then they'll feel like they sort of outgrow their relationship. My attitude has always been to invite my partner on the journey with me, but be clear that this is a journey that I'm going on, that I want them to come, but this is a journey that I'm going on. And now some people might, you might interact with some friends and you're like, I love these guys, but I kind of just outgrew this group. I would still recommend that you at least make the invitation. You at least make the offer. You at least say, hey guys, you know, I love hanging out with you, love grabbing drinks with you. I'm reading this book over the next 2 or 3 months. Do you guys want to read it together? And we can like kind of discuss it. And like, you know, we don't have to be like, you know, a book club necessarily, but I'm working on this area of my life. I think you guys would benefit from it a lot. And I'd love to kind of bring you guys along for the ride as I do this. And the thing is, if you don't, if they say no, usually one or two will be like, yeah, let's do that. But if you find that they don't, you know, it's probably time for some new blood in your life.
Yeah. I mean, very well said. I've had this experience as well, being on my own personal development journey for so long. And one, as you said, no judgment anywhere, any way, shape or form, but it's interesting. It comes back to the assertiveness one that you said, you're like, well, I'm telling these people like, this is what I'm doing and you know, get with it and that's fine. And if not, that's okay. But where people retract there, it goes back to the scarcity that you were talking about, right? It's like, well, if I have these friends and these are my friends and like, I'm going to go hiking or do the thing that I want to do and they don't want to come with me, it's like, I might lose these people. And then that ends up holding me back. Whereas, as you said, it's like, that just might be time to like a snake shedding its skin or you leveling up. And it also doesn't mean that you can't have different friends for different things. You can still,
exactly.
You can still be involved with people in different ways. So My last set of questions as we start to wrap up here, Devin, What is the change that you want to see in the world?
I do sometimes feel like I'm a hammer and I just see nails everywhere. It's like social. It all comes to me these days. So much of it comes down to social. Again, you know, I've been doing this for 16 years. I was doing this, I want to say before Instagram was around, which is wild, but I truly believe that if we were more socially connected, the world would be an absolutely different place. The depression rates just like bumped up in 2008 when the, you know, smartphone was released. And so I think we're in a really interesting time right now where people are trusting the internet less and less and less, you know, with AI and like that Sora video thing just came out and they're like fully recreating like HD video with like just a little prompt. So I think we're going to be moving into a time where no one trusts anything online. And real world connections are going to be the only thing that we put actual weight on. So my hope is that the atrophied muscle that has just gotten completely weakened over the last 10 years, but certainly during COVID, like really got weakened, this social muscle, I hope that we can strengthen that. And strengthen our communities and our connections.
So we've talked a big, high level, 5,000 foot view this whole conversation. We've talked about fluency and we've talked about confidence and we've talked about relationships. For the last thing I want to leave listeners with, an action step to take the change that we've been talking about for this entire episode and make it easier so that they can take action and do one step today towards creating this change. What's an action step that they can take right now as soon as this episode ends?
So what the action step that I would put out to your listeners that's going to make this change really easy for them would be reach out to your 5 closest friends, and ask them if they want to get on a weekly call, or ideally a weekly coffee, or, you know, hang out at someone's house, and start a circle. Because if you want to make change to your social life and your feeling of connectedness, you have to show up. You have to go and consistently show up for something. And I have found men's groups to be really helpful for me. And my wife's been in women's circles as well. And it's just like this, once a week, you're hanging out with these group of people and you're sharing what's going on for you and you're listening to what's going on for them. And so that's not like maybe the easiest thing, because it requires you to take a few steps to get the outcome that I'd like you to get. But I think leverage wise, it's something you could get sorted in a day or two. And then next week you could be getting that kind of social need met. And then the other thing would be like really easy. If you did this every day for a month, you know, if you did it right, you could get some small kind of wins under your belt socially, would be just to say hi to the first person you see every day. And that might be the same person, because you see the same person, obviously not your partner. If you wake up and you say hi, that would be weird. But if you live in a building and you have a schedule that puts you out 7 a.m. and there's also this other person that puts you out there 7 a.m., get in the habit of saying hi to that person. But if it's a different person every day, that's great too, because you're building the muscle for yourself, not you know, for them.
Love that. I love the second piece as well, is saying hi to someone. I'm going to challenge myself to do that every day this month. So thank you so much, Devin. Thank you for being here. I really enjoyed this conversation. Such a great conversation with Devin. So interesting to hear how you can think of social fluency as a skill that you can hone, just like a muscle that you can build. I loved his action steps, especially challenging us to get out and talk to strangers, even if it's just saying hello to the barista or a neighbor. Sometimes the simplest things are also the most impactful, and you just might make someone's day. Be sure to check out everything Devin is doing over at socialfluency.com, which is linked in the show notes. And I also have Devin's social media handles there as well. Check him out, and I'll catch you back here next time. If you're really passionate about making this change stick, then I just have to remind you about my free weekly newsletter. Don't miss out on joining the thousands of change seekers just like you who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content that will help you on your quest for change. Go to the notes of whatever app you're listening on and click the link that says free newsletter now, and you'll be signed up to get free tips sent straight to your inbox every Friday that will help make your change journey easier. All you have to do is click free newsletter right now. Go to that link, and I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday for new episodes of Change Made Easy.